part in the Word that says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All them people that get under your skin and bugged you because you're a believer, woe unto them that do not heed the word of the gospel, because one day their knee will bow and their tongue will confess and they're going to say, oh my God, what have I done? And God will say, it wasn't what you done, it's what you didn't done that got you in all this mess. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to see all your happy, smiling faces this morning. Hallelujah. Even when the sun don't shine, our faces should shine because they reveal the glory of the Lord. There should be a joy inside of you that it doesn't matter what happens today, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God has put His Holy Ghost inside of you to raise you up, to quicken you, to make you alive in Him, and to cause you to overcome everything that the enemy would try to bring against you, whether it's in word or deed. You have the victory. He always causes you to triumph in Christ, and He always gives you the victory, because you are indeed overcomers and more than conquerors through Christ who loved you and gave Himself for you.
Amen. Boy, we can go home now.
I'm all for that. No, we gotta do a few more songs of praise. Jeez, you went through all of that for one song? Come on now. Wow. Well, I have an opening scripture this morning from the book of Ephesians, which we are studying on Wednesday nights, and 4 weeks we haven't got to verse one yet, but we will. Want to look at chapter 4. Verses 31 and 32 of Ephesians. And when you get there, I want you to please understand in the context of these two scriptures, the context of the entire chapter is the new you in Christ. And preview to 31 and 32, go up to 24 for just a minute. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You remember last week I talked about how people struggle and try to be something when God says we already are. We talked about being perfected forever, and that the blood of Jesus is what refined us and perfected us. And the work of the Holy Spirit, when you became born again, you became a brand new creation. The old you died. And so now, when He says to put on the new man, He's referring to the Christ-like one that you now are. But there's some key things about that. It said, which after God is created in righteousness. The new you was created in the righteousness of God. That's a hard word to swallow for some people. That you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Not because of anything we did, but because of everything that He did. When He shed His blood and He took it and applied it on the mercy seat in heaven, there is nothing credited to your account in the sin department, because there isn't any account in heaven. It's been erased by the blood of Jesus. And therefore, if there are no charges laid against you, God is obligated to declare you to be righteous because of what His Son did for you in the shedding of His blood. And it says in true holiness. So many people make the mistake of trying to walk a holy life or walking in holiness. They're trying and they're laboring and they're working at it instead of just doing it. Because they don't understand that the book of Ephesians is a wonderful revelation of the new you and I in Christ. And all the attributes of Christ that you already have inside of you. And so now, what happens now, we've got to train the flesh and the mind. We are told to renew our minds. We do that by the Word, immersing ourselves in the Word, studying, reading, meditating, those kind of things. And also to bring our flesh under the control of the new spirit man that's on the inside of us. And then we get down into verses 31 and 32. You could spend a long, long time in chapter 4, but it says bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. This goes along with our word teaching as well. Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God's sake has forgiven you. And when it says, let all bitterness, bitterness takes root inside of us through harboring unforgiveness towards someone or bad feelings. It just sits in there and it simmers, seethes, and it oozes rot inside. It's very destructive. It's very damaging to one's spiritual walk to allow bitterness to take root inside of us, because it will not do any of us a lick of good to have bitterness towards anyone inside of us. It just eats away at everything that we live for, to have bitterness, because out of bitterness eventually will produce wrath and anger. You just get seething down inside and so festered over somebody or something that eventually it's going to come out in our actions, and it's going to manifest as anger or wrath. Those things are very destructive. And clamor, always screaming and yelling and out of control, like children that haven't learned to control themselves or control their emotions. These things happen on the inside. And evil speaking. You see, eventually, bitterness is going to come out of our mouths, and it's going to be released like chemical warfare in the spirit. When we speak evil of one another, it's like a green poisonous gas cloud that just emanates out of our mouths, and it settles on people, and it affects them. So it isn't just the person speaking, it's the person who hears. And Paul is telling us to put on the new man. That means walk in the new you. Because this says that we were created. We didn't become a Christian because we decided that we were going to be one. It was God who saved us, and He created a new man. We just turned over a new leaf. No, we are absolutely created by God, someone who didn't exist before. And that's really hard to grasp, but it's the truth. And so when He says to put on, that means walk out what I've done in your life. Walk out the new you. Don't go back to the way you used to live when you were the walking dead. They're not healthy for us spiritually, and it makes a big impact on the lives of people around us that don't want to be around us. I found out one day that the reason our neighbors might not be so friendly to us is because maybe we haven't been a good neighbor to them. And that works, that principle applies throughout our faith. When we were quick to maybe make comments or talk about others, maybe it started with us and things that we've spoken. And malice is an interesting word. Malice means that we intended to do it for the hurt of the other. See, so this goes, it isn't even just our words, it isn't just the evil speaking, it isn't just the clamor, it isn't just the anger, it isn't just the wrath. It's we did it deliberately with the intent to hurt someone else with our words. Even in court, malice shows intent, and it's a legal term that it shows intent. And when we say, I couldn't help myself, yes, we could. Yes, we can. I know I shouldn't say this, but Yeah, and that's the part of us that just got us in trouble. This is so opposite of many of us before we were saved. It is such a contrast, the old man versus the new man. And we're going to have a really wonderful time talking about the two when we get more into the book of Ephesians downstairs. But verse 32 is, notice, be kind one to another. Learn to be able to take a lot of this and not retaliate. Oh boy, getting even is, I remember the worldly saying that I used to say, I don't get mad, I get even. Not that any of you have ever thought of that, but no. I'd rather, as I'm learning and growing, I'd rather let the Holy Spirit deal with that instead of me. I'm definitely not Holy Ghost Junior. And I so much know what a horrible mess I could make really that quick. I'd rather not say anything than to respond out of any of these things that were written in verse 31. Tender-hearted. When we start getting a hardened heart, we're headed for trouble. And it takes a real work of the Spirit to remain tender-hearted, because we are so tender, we're like little tender shoots and we bruise easily. Because our hearts are new from the Lord, and they're filled with compassion, they're filled with mercy, they're filled with kindness and goodness and the unconditional love of the Father. And so when we're confronted with verse 31, it's so opposite of everything that we've been created not to be like anymore. And so we should strive to guard our mouths, not harboring bitterness, not being a vessel for the enemy, for his dumping ground of all this trash. You know, when they put the sign "area waste" on your doorstep, you'll be known as one where the devil can come and dump all his garbage. This is really important. This is a lifetime witness right here. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God has for the sake of Christ, to protect the integrity of the cross. We're to forgive with that same kind of forgiveness. And forgiveness doesn't mean I forgive you and 2 seconds later you bring it back up again. It means you leave it dead where it belongs. Because otherwise we become like spiritual vultures. We go back up and feast on the dead things. Whenever you say you forgive somebody and you go back and you dig it up again and throw it in their face in your moment of resentfulness, it's like going back like a vulture and eating roadkill. I'll just be real Vermontish about it. You see the crows out there eating what got hit by a car. Well, that's what harboring bitterness and unforgiveness is like to the Christian. It's not pretty. So today, that wasn't a joyful word, but I know that in our study on words, how can we grow if we don't know? How can we be reminded if we don't look again? And how can we ever experience all there is for the Lord's blessing and provision in our lives if we neglect these truths? No, it isn't always a happy, jumping, shouting moment. But for somebody today, maybe even if there's just one among us, that the Lord has already spoken that you need to get something right with somebody, please go do it.
I've wanted for a long time to share this with everyone, and I felt like I really didn't have permission. And I now feel like I have permission to share this with you. And I'll read first, so you'll know kind of where I'm going. And I do things a little backwards, so.
Just like me.
And this is Psalm 8, 4 through 6. For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Psalm 139, 13, 14 through 14. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, and before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Okay. As a small girl, I was born with a heart defect, and this was a long time ago. And I marvel at my mom and my dad how they got through this, but I could not play like other children. I could not run. I could not skip. I could not jump. Because when I did, blood would just flow through my nose and my mouth. And my mom and dad had to carry towels around with them all the time. And, of course, they took me from doctor to doctor, place to place, and they all said there was nothing they could do at that time. Today, it's just a breeze in and out. But they said there was going to be some experimental surgery done in the Presbyterian Hospital in New York. And so they took me there. And out of seven children, four of us lived. During the surgery, something happened that I couldn't bring back to my mind till I was a little older. But there was always something there. And it was that while I was on the gurney and there were medical technicians over me, I actually saw a very bright light. And whoever spoke, and I'm sure it was the Lord, said, "You can come with me now, or you can stay with your mom and dad." And of course, being 4 years old, I was going to stay with my mom and dad. So it took a little while for me to get back together again. It was great that I could play with the other kids and come normal, sort of, again. And I know I'm doing today what you planned for me to do. And I'll go to some other time in my... I wish I could tell you all of this because it's all pretty special to me. But I'll go to a time when, after I got done being very angry with the Lord, I decided he was more important than anything else. So I was born again, baptized 12 years ago. And Rich at that time and I went on a trip to Maine. And I don't know why we weren't at the ocean, because that's usually we go to the ocean in Maine. But we were in some hilly farm country. And there are very steep hills, and then you go up another hill and down in a valley, sort of. And I turned to Rich and I said, "Would you please slow down a little bit?" He wasn't speeding, but he was. I had a feeling we were going to have a problem. I almost couldn't tell him what I wanted to tell him because I couldn't believe I was getting this. And it was, "You need to slow down now because there's turkeys way up ahead." And he was really nice. He didn't say, "What's the matter with you?" or whatever. I mean, I couldn't even hardly bring it myself to tell him this. But I said, "There are turkeys." And sure enough, I think a half mile to a mile, there was a herd of turkeys crossing the road. We had to stop. I believe that the Lord warned us, because you know when you hit turkeys, what happens with a car. So that is another experience. I've had a lot of experiences like that, but that kind of stands out because it's there. It's God protecting me. He's always there with us. He's been unbelievable with me. I'm sure people will think this is a little unbelievable. And now I want to come to, well, I'm going to read this because for some reason I was told to read this. I don't. I'm not sure why. "Your eyes saw my uniform body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I'm still with you." And I'm not sure I was given that, but I was. I'm going to read Isaiah 46:4. "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I'm making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" I have to promise you, I've never done drugs. I never had a drinking problem. But this was really a really wonderful experience for me. And it was at a time in my life when I was really getting very depressed over a family situation. And I really was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do, and I felt, you know, this is not a good thing to happen in our family. It just wasn't. We're a fairly close family. I was feeling very helpless and just exhausted. And I sat down in my living room, and I turned my head automatically to the window. And the windows were two double windows. And on the screens of the windows, and this is like beginning of May, there were birds of colors I had never seen, maybe not see again, but they were there. And it was a matter of maybe a minute, and even more, and they were gone. And he turned my head, and I looked down at a long foyer, and I looked down that foyer, and I was trying to kind of clear my eyes. But I saw, like, I can't explain exactly how I saw this, but it was three images. And I knew it was three angels. And they did come and say to me that I didn't need to fear or worry anymore, because everything would be wonderful and beautiful. And it just all happened very fast, but I can't, I'll probably never forget it. And I'm in awe of this, because I know this is something special. So I kind of will read the rest to you. I really want you all to know, I'm sure, you're very special to the Lord. For him to come and give me, it sends his angels to give me this message. I know we're all very special to him. And he's going to be there every day for us, every time, any time we need him, he's going to be there. He doesn't go away. So I will read this. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And I happen to be reading this great book that Karen gave me, and I just will bring this to an end. And I think I lost the place. All right, this is like God knows all the answers, and I'm sure he does. Okay. We often learn to listen to God more closely and depend upon him more fully as we walk with him through adversity. Remember John 17:3, Jesus tells us, "This is eternal life, and they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ with whom you have sent." The Lord's first and foremost goal is to bring you deeper into the intimate relationship with him. "You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23:5-6, what a wonderful promise. It is an assurance that the Father wants you to take hold regardless of your circumstances. His goodness and loving kindness will be with you forever, even into eternity. I think that's what I wanted to tell you this morning, and I was happy I could share this finally, because it's been a long time. And if ever, and things do come up in everyone's life, I just go right back here, and I know I'm going to be okay, because the Lord's going to make it okay. And I'm surprised I didn't need a brown bag to breathe in, but
those are words of great comfort, because it's exactly what we forget sometimes in a crisis or a time of need, and we look more at the circumstances of the very present moment instead of the one who comforts us and sees us through every circumstance, no matter how big it is. God is bigger. And so many times we look at our problems and think how small God is, And we should be looking at God and how big He is and how small our difficulties are. Thank you, Marge. Thank you. Well, with that in mind, I want to pray for any of you that want prayer, because it's nice to know that when we pray for one another and we release our faith together, it's nice to know that the greater one dwells within you. And He's greater than any situation that we're going to pray for you. And be assured that whatever it is won't be the same after today. So I know a lot of things have already happened. Already have happened.